Allison Seeley Smith here, the voice of Storm from X-Men the Animated Series and X-Men 97. I'm summoning you to a monumental gathering, the Uncanny Experience, the immersive X-Men fandom convention. This September 28th and 29th, we are transforming the Minneapolis Club in Minnesota into the hallowed halls of the Xavier Institute. Prepare for an electrifying array of panels, a mutant marketplace, celebrity meet and greets, a cosplay contest, the enigmatic Hellfire Club, and an unforgettable after party in the mansion. Embrace your powers and let the storm guide you. Visit theuncannyexperience.com to learn more.
Welcome, everyone, to the X-Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And what a past, like, week and a half we have had.
Yeah, especially for you.
Yeah. So if people are following us on Instagram at X-Factor Files podcast, they'll have seen that there was no episode last week because I lost power for 2 days.
Yeah. So folks living on coasts have hurricanes.
Or around the world.
Well, we have hurricanes and earthquakes, and here in the Midwest, we have severe storms, tornadoes, thunderstorms, and there was a tornado that went just a bit north and a bit south of you.
Yes. Well, that was 2 days after, 3 days after the initial storm.
Yes.
So power got knocked out, and since I live in the country and not on infrastructure for water, that means that your well pump does not have power. And your septic system cannot push the stuff out of the tank that's in your basement out to the septic field.
Yeah.
So it really sucked.
But you made it through.
Yeah, because then there was a tornado warning on Thursday night, and I had all three buttons and had to gather them and run to the basement so quickly.
Yeah. And we devised a new plan for getting Asta.
Yes.
The clue is to get her down the stairs and then close the gate.
Yeah.
So she has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But in the carrier.
Yes.
Which you will hate. And she's going to hate it in a few hours when you leave my place.
Yep. Since she has to travel. But they got nail trims. So they were getting a little long. So we had to bring them in, get those nails trimmed. Picked up new hay, so we picked up some new hay that hopefully I'm not as allergic to, and won't have to take an allergy pill quite all the time, 365 days a year, 366 on leap years, and yeah, got a lot of stuff done. I feel my body is still recovering from all of this stress, though.
Yeah.
And it's manifesting itself in upset stomach ways.
Yeah, I just have tight hamstrings to recover from all the bending over to pick up sticks.
Yeah, we spent many hours outside on Saturday cleaning up.
Yeah, so there's three brushy brush piles that could be burned in the winter, in addition to a pretty significant stack of logs to burn as well. So when we have the Star Trek friends over.
Yeah, well, some of that stuff we'll have to dry for like a year. Like the bigger sticks and everything that I cut with a chainsaw.
And maybe the oak stuff.
Yeah.
Pine stuff should be fairly flammable.
Yes. So that was my thing. While you were picking up sticks, I was out there chainsawing all of the big limbs and then had to mow because it had been a while and I was going to do that last week. And then I couldn't. So it was very inconvenient to have to do all that stuff when we really just want to relax on a holiday weekend. But, oh, well, it doesn't happen that way sometimes. So we're here, though, to cover X-Factor 246 to 249, like so close to the end of the series.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah, they're like 13 issues after this or 14.
And with all the dramatic exits of the last episode that we put out.
Yeah.
It's when you said it was a Pip episode, I was like, oh, what? But these four issues all sort of go along together.
Yes. And they're leading to like the next story arc.
Yeah.
It's an arc in itself, but...
it's more long-form storytelling.
Yes. Even though the name of the trade paperback is Short Stories.
Yes.
So issue 246 opens up with Pip.
A data page that doesn't include the exited X-Factor members. So there's only 8 people on there now.
Yeah. So the roster is slimmed down, and we start off at a dark alley where a woman is getting mugged and she fights back. Pip shows up and punches him when he gets a knife pulled on him by the guy.
Punches him in the nuts.
Yes. And the woman is like, shouldn't we wait for the police because the guy is down on the ground? And he's like, do you want to wait in a smelly alley for a few hours, or do you want to go to a bar with me?
And it's odd that Pip is narrating this. He gets the square narration text boxes.
Yes. So she thinks that he is Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones. His bartender goes along with it.
Yes.
It's sort of skeezy because we come to find out, like, Pip pays this guy to threaten women so he can play the hero and, like, flirt with them and sleep with them. It's very predatory.
Yeah, it is.
It's really icky.
Very problematic from Pip the Troll.
Yeah. So there's a call that comes in because the guy is loitering. The person we thought was a criminal wasn't a criminal, is outside the alley. The woman's like, he's outside. And Pip's like, let me go talk to him. And he's like, I don't have all the money to pay you right now. So
hold on.
Here's $20. Call comes in from headquarters.
Well, the mugger is like, I saw some guys are super sketchy and they said X Factor will fall.
Oh, that's
you're it, part yeah. of X Factor, right? Shouldn't you know this? So Pip runs off, says goodbye to Vera in a very perfunctory way, just throws her in a cab.
Yeah.
Acting like he's about to go with her to her place, but then shuts the door and gets in a different cab to go back.
Yeah.
So off he goes. And
we get a little backstory to Pip the Troll and sort of what has happened to him in the past in terms of, like, the Infinity Watch, which is still on my list to read someday.
Yeah.
In the Infinity Watch.
So he had been floating around with Adam and Gamora, and I'm guessing that's Adam Warlock?
It is.
If it's Infinity related?
Yes.
And did not have a good time with Thanos.
He died?
Or his mind got ripped to shreds?
I don't know.
And now came back as a perv?
Yes.
So he's like, X-Factors, like my family. War.
Yeah. And then we get a little backstory on how he uses his cosmic powers to make easy cash.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the one that keeps the lights on at X Factor. Someone comes in, it's a missing persons case, and it doesn't even rise to the level of getting the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh yeah, this guy that you want to have a seance for, like, he faked his death and is now in a Bahamas hotel room that you use for your honeymoon.
Yeah,
with other women.
Yes. So it's just an example of sort of what he does on a daily basis when people roll in.
Yeah.
And he just gets a read off of things and tells them what to do.
Or X-Factor forgets that he was running around the galaxy and little wormhole generators are cheap.
Yes.
So he installed a few with some motion sensors. So there are some sketchy ninjas from the Friends of Humanity who stopped by, and he sent them someplace.
Yeah. So they tried to break in. He lured them basically right where the black hole device is, and then transported them elsewhere.
Yes. Which is fine because Friends of Humanity are trash.
Yes.
I hope they landed in a dumpster.
Yeah.
So all this backstory during the cab ride, he gets back to headquarters, and who is there?
A woman?
It's Vera.
Vera. Do I remember her?
She's the one that he rescued from mugging.
Oh, except now.
Now she's evil and yes. wielding a gun.
And she shoots him right in the forehead and walks away.
And that's the issue.
That's the issue.
It's a Pip-centric. It's a quick read.
It is.
Like it,
all 4 of these issues. Very quick.
Yeah, it didn't take long to reread them.
No.
And they flow well. Like, it it's easier to see this as one longer story than four individual comics. Like,
yeah,
if it's were a month apart, it would be fine. But at least when it's condensed like this, it's like very easy to just keep going and keep going. And
yeah, and these were brand new to me. So I think I mentioned this last episode about X Factor. I ended right where that arc ended, I think, and didn't continue.
With Strong Guy and...
Yeah, Banshee somewhere leaving. In there, yeah, is where I stopped. All right, so we're in issue 247. Madrox and Layla are in their honeymoon bed in Las Vegas.
And it's Vegas because it's a tacky heart-shaped headboard and silks, pink, shiny sheets.
Yes.
Or at least pink and shiny. I don't know if they're silk. They might just be water-resistant.
Yes. There's a knock at the door. Madrox pulls a gun.
And he's very on edge because in one reality that he's keenly aware of, Venora had murdered them on their wedding night.
Yes. So
Layla points out it is morning.
Yes.
We have survived.
So it's fine. It's a Las Vegas detective who comes in and he's like, oh, you're, you know, X Factor, you're in town. We need help because people keep killing Abe Lincoln impersonators. And they so happen to be married by an Abe Lincoln impersonator the night before.
Who was doing really good business.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about Honest Abe, but people are like, I want them to be my officiant in Vegas. So, they mention the Presley estate had been cracking down on impersonators.
Yes.
So the options were Beyonce in air quotes.
Yes.
Or Abe Lincoln.
Yes. And Layla's like, we went with Abe Lincoln because I didn't want to hear single ladies.
For 10 minutes before we actually got married.
Yes. So this is like the fourth Abe Lincoln.
And Layla is super slick and Madrox is very dense.
Yeah.
She sort of alludes to misdeeds of the detective of like,
does your wife know about what you've been doing?
I'll tell her.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh, gulp.
Yeah.
And she also gets him to spill that this is not the first Abe Lincoln that has been beheaded in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's a straight up decapitation.
Yeah.
And after the detective leaves, Madrox is like, how did you know all that stuff? Is this from you knowing stuff? And she's like, no, forensics wouldn't have been able to turn everything around so quickly the way that he was describing it. So there must have been other cases. And then I was just guessing about him being a dick.
Yeah.
And then Madrox is like, or Layla's like, so let's pick back up where we left off.
Yeah.
Throws off the robe and Madrox sort of goes down and then can't stop talking about it. And she's like, we're investigating this, aren't we? And he's like, yep.
And she sighs and says, nerds.
A very strong guy thing.
So they show up to the site. We basically get the rundown of like Abe Lincoln. He's a good guy. Beyonce is going to be real busy with weddings now.
Yeah. And this handler, like how many Abe Lincolns did she have that have now been decapitated? And she sort of doesn't blink an eye, but it sounds like she's the corporate person,
booker?
The booker. Yeah. Like handles all the money, has different people that different officiants under her umbrella.
Yeah. They check it out. They find a scrap of like flesh that's super old.
Yes, very old, very dead.
And then
like Danhausen, very nice, very evil.
Yes. Layla does like a magic thing.
A locator spell.
Yes.
She's like, you don't have to be Doctor Strange or Doctor Doom level magic to do a locator spell. I can do that.
Yeah. So she needs 4 blue candles, water, and some myrrh.
Yes. And there's a joke there about, oh, like the wise men. And she's like, how do you think they knew where they were supposed to go? And Jamie says, a star?
Yeah. So she starts doing the locator spell while he's in a cab.
Yeah.
So
he's ready to go wherever she directs him.
Yep.
She gets the glowy eyes.
Then she trips over a chair.
She's like, yeah, I'll meet you. I have a map on my phone.
Yeah.
Trips over the chair, housekeeping comes in, opens the door, which bonks her really hard on the head.
And knocks her out.
Yeah, Madrox doesn't quite know what's happening. And then when she finally does pass out, he's like, that Layla, what a sense of humor. As the housekeeper is like fanning her with a towel.
So he shows up to the location. It's a Civil War reenactment at a convention center.
How could this be related to Abe Lincoln at all?
And there's a competition about to begin where they're like, we're going to have the largest reenactment of this battle indoors ever. But first, we need to have a competition to find like the best Grant and Lee.
Yes. And so Madrox sneaks in. He's like, I have a clipboard. I'm from the public safety department.
And the cop backstage is like, no, you're not. So he just knocks him out with a clipboard.
Yeah. He's like, this used to work.
And he goes down to like find the contestants. They are all dead.
So much blood.
And it is the real zombified Robert E. Lee.
You may have heard Arlington in the news recently.
Yeah.
Fun fact, that used to be Lee's estates, and they were confiscated by the Union.
Yes, and Abe Lincoln made it into a cemetery for killed Union soldiers.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
The shade. And Robert E. Lee is really upset.
He's like,
whenever Confederacy.
Yeah, people died.
Yeah.
This is all just a game to these people. But these were lives. Do you think their wives and children thought they would be coming back?
So Battle ensues. It goes out onto the stage.
Yeah. And the people are like, ooh, this looks so good.
This is better than last year.
Yeah. And there's some snarky things happening. So Madrox catches the sword, does the stomp stomp, and so all his dupes have swords.
They cut off Robert E. Lee's head, but the body is still fighting.
Well, before that, Robert E.'s like, by the way, how do you do that where you duplicate the weapons? And Madrox is like, well, I don't know. It just sort of happens.
He's like still working on that one.
Which is sort of all throughout.
Never. It is. I still don't know.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
So he's decapitated. He's still fighting. He punches Prime in the face, which sparks another dupe.
Yes.
And then the audience is finally like, oh, wait, his head just got chopped off. Maybe we should leave.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
One of the dupes shoots down a lighting structure to start the corpse on fire.
Yes. Because clearly separating from body parts was not working.
No, but they're saying the same thing. So Vera...
It's all about X Factor will fall.
And Robert E. Lee's flaming skull is saying the same thing.
Like, you started this in action. Therefore, you will be the first X Factor will fall, you and all your teammates. So
back in the honeymoon suite, they're going to pick up where they left off. Layla has like a bag of ice on her head. A dupe comes in and says, what, are you starting without me?
I don't think he came in. I think he was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he had to use the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a fun way to end.
Yes.
And we failed to mention that partly why Madrox was so fixated the first time when Layla's like, let's go back to business. He's like, it's Highlander, but with Abe Lincoln. And then it actually was because he cut off his head and then eventually Robert E. Lee died.
Yes.
So there's a lot of references to people coming back from the dead. And how this is disrupting the natural order of things.
And he's like, I shouldn't tell him about myself and Strong Guy that.
Yeah, that'll only make him more mad.
Yeah, because Robert E. Lee is super angry that mutants just keep coming back.
Yeah.
For reasons.
And I mean, Banshee did become the Celtic goddess of death.
Yes.
So she'll be making a comeback. But not in these issues.
No. Issue 248, same team lineup. We see Pip, who is like...
in a padded room.
Yes, and Thanos and the Lady Death come in.
And Thanos is looking ripped.
Yes, he is.
He's like, hello, Pip.
Yeah, this is happening again.
And Pip is like, I'm not dead, this is a dream. And Thanos is like, how do you know?
And he kicks him in the nuts.
He gets kicked in the nuts.
And he runs down this white hallway and pushes through and then falls. And he finds himself in a bedroom and he's like, wait.
I mean, he is pursued by Lady Death, who's like, you cannot escape me. I am still coming for you.
Right.
He wakes up.
He's like, I'm taller than I usually am.
What is happening?
Yeah.
He goes to a mirror and...
he's Monet.
Which
I don't like this.
It'll be a plot point later in the next episode. But also, like how we were saying before, Monet hasn't really gotten much development. She's just angry and bitchy.
Yeah.
And now, then again, like someone is taking control of her body.
Yep. Like the autonomy is gone.
Like the agency is gone. So yeah. Like from Generation X with M Plate earlier in this issue with Cortex. Like people just keep taking over her body, and
Pip is gross, and he's like, "Well, as long as I'm here," and like unzips the bodysuit to like look at the boobs and everything, and she punches him. Like she's still in there too.
Yeah, so she slaps herself, her body. So she's there. She's pissed. She knows what's happening.
Yeah,
and yeah, she goes down to find the morgue.
Yeah, and they're. Like, he's still breathing, but he's been shot through the head. That's why we're not bringing him to a hospital.
Right. Polaris, Shatterstar, Longshot, and Richter are all there.
Also, the art in this issue, not my favorite.
Yeah, we had talked as we were rereading that the Davidson art.
Paul Davidson, not my favorite artist on this. It's very aged down, which is a criticism of one of the current X books.
But that was not as bad.
Yeah, this is like, if you didn't tell me that was Richter, I wouldn't know it was Richter, which seems to be a problem series-wide, like when they have a fill-in artist, like no one ever knows how to nail Richter.
Like his skin tone, some people...
The cheekbones even.
The page haircut.
Yeah.
The sweater, like there are aspects of Richter that aren't consistent, and he... Monet's skin tone usually gets the most attention for like wildly inconsistent, not very appropriate. And then with Julio, it still varies quite a bit.
Yeah.
Also, their eyes are just like
very big and Disneyfied almost. Yeah. So it was a little distracting reading this issue, like trying to be like, oh, ooh.
Yeah. It works for some people, it's not for us.
Yeah.
So they're there with the body. Still breathing, and
they're like, we need the bullet.
Yeah. And Monet comes in, but really it's not Monet. And she
explains like, hi, I'm Pip. That's also not where my brain is.
Yeah.
Because
there's some like talk about head joke, so they all start laughing.
Yeah.
Because they're all very silly.
And
then Shatter's like, well, I don't get it, but also, where is your brain?
And it's next to his heart.
Yeah. There's a nice little monologue about, like, my species doesn't have the same violence issues that your species does because our heart and our brain are more connected.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of neat.
So that's where Pip's appendix is.
Yeah. So he got an appendectomy.
Yes. And then Longshot comes in. He's like, hey, I found the bullet.
And they're all laughing because Pip has taken over Monet's body. Har, har, har. And they're like, okay, Pip's body just needs time to heal itself. It's going to be fine. His mind is just within Monet, which is sort of alluded to when Thanos and Lady Death are talking to him. He's like, no, I had backups. This can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
So a backup is hopping into someone else's body.
Yeah.
And as a telepath, Monet was the first choice.
Yeah.
So they get Longshot to do the sensory thing on the bullet, and so he knows where it was loaded into the gun. Shatterstar can teleport them there, and Richter makes a very snide comment of like, because they have a relationship. Seems like everyone here has a relationship with Shatterstar. Polaris is like, I don't. Shatterstar comes in from the side to say there's still time, and she just palms his face away.
Madrox and Layla are getting in a cab to go back to headquarters.
Yes.
But there's an evil guy with glowy eyes who's their cab driver.
Yes.
So we know that nothing good is going to come of that.
Right. Only good guys can have glowy eyes if they're doing a locator spell or some sort of seance.
Yeah, definitely not red.
Anyone else with red glowy eyes must be evil.
Yep.
So off they go.
Back at headquarters, we get more discussion.
And there's a moment where Monet/Pip, but really it's Monet, slaps Polaris. And he's like, oh, by the way, Monet's still in here. She's pissed.
Yeah.
I do forget why she slaps Polaris, though.
I think it's just Polaris making a point, like
we'll go on a mission, it's fine. Like Monet will just sit there, with Pip driving.
Yes. So this is where Longshot gets that read, and they're off. They're in some wood. Shatterstar starts cutting through vines and everything.
He's like, those are some very menacing plants over there.
Yes. And it turns out they're in the New York Botanical Garden, where the cab carrying Madrox and Layla is turning into. And the cab driver turns around. They see his evil. Layla activates her shield, which can also be an offensive maneuver, not just defensive.
Right. So by doing it within the car, it sort of like pushes the car out and explodes it.
Yep.
And the red glowy eyes are because he's possessed by a demon.
Yes.
And this is where it's all going to start. Your team is here. We figured you should be with your team so you can all die together.
Because
X Factor will fall. So off they go, and they find some scary people with, it's not even like a scythe. It's like a long hatchet blade on a long pole.
Yeah.
And a very steaming fountain. So Vera activates a demonic hell volcano.
And it starts sprouting from the fountain, and that's where we leave the issue.
Yeah, things do not look great for team from the home base.
No. So 249.
Cover's fun. It's like them all falling into a pit.
This is basically one long battle.
This
entire issue.
So Layla and Jamie start off. He gets a sword away from one of them, does some stomp. So there's a whole bunch of swords. They dropkick a demon and are like, well, we got to find the rest of the team. Let's just keep going. So go they do. And then we get to a double page spread.
With the huge volcano, you can see a lot of the team already in the fight or reacting to the volcano appearing.
Polaris is like, get some altitude.
Yes. So she lifts up most of the team. Richter and Shatterstar stay on the ground to be like the ground team.
Well, they're picked up by Monet at first. And then Pip's mind goes back to his body. Like, he's like, any minute, I'll go back to being me. And he does.
And then Monet,
looks at both of them.
Yeah.
Throws Richter totally off to the side.
Yeah. And Shatterstar's like, why not me? And she's like, you're the only one who didn't laugh.
Yeah. So good for Shatterstar.
Yeah.
So Polaris picks up Richter, and Monet is just so pissed.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
And she goes after Polaris.
Like, you should know.
Yeah.
This isn't funny.
Yeah.
You know what I went through with M-Plate. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's, I feel like, very justified in her rage.
Yes.
And so we flash back to Jamie and Layla running through. Demons have guns, demons have bows and arrows. It's very disjointed.
And her shield is kinetic. So the more that they shoot at them through the shield, the more power it gets. So the shield isn't going to fail.
Yeah, they're going to run out of ammo before the shield runs out of power, which is very Star Trek Corbomite Reflector.
Mm.
Like the thing that you fire a weapon at it and it redirects that energy back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Only instead of redirecting it back, it just powers itself.
Up in the air, Monet and Polaris sort of come to an understanding.
Sort of. They're like, Polaris is trying to get Monet to focus.
Yeah.
And she's like, one, I'm sorry I shouldn't have laughed. Like, two, have you met me? I have also had my mind trifled with and possessed by other people. I forget what the third thing was, but eventually Monet agrees to take out her frustration on all these demons. And then we get some fun action shots.
Shatterstar is down on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Monet dropped him off.
Yes.
And she's like, he saw an army. He wanted to kill it. He's just a man who wants to kill things and fuck.
Yes. Vera grew tentacle arms.
Yeah, apparently it's her sister back in Kansas that Shatterstar had decapitated.
Yeah.
So she is especially interested in revenge on him.
Yes.
So he tries to fight. He gets all encircled, entangled by the tentacles, as one does.
Polaris borrows Longshot's blades.
Because there were a bunch of winged demons that appeared. Mm-hmm. So really, Polaris is all you need.
Yeah. So she flings the blades around everywhere.
Yeah. And somewhere in here, they figure out that this portal to the Hells is held open by all these demons. These demons have been accumulating for a while, possessing humans, taking their places, or just taking on human form and running around. But now something demonic and hellish is happening. So that's why they're all converging. That's what's creating this tear. So if they kill all the demons, they can close the rupture.
Mm-hmm.
Richter tries to create a crevice to get some distance, and then lava spurts out of it. And they're like, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't think that one through. That's on me. Sorry.
Madrox and Dupes are across the battlefield and shouting things.
Yeah.
Trying to explain, I got married. And
because Vera's like, and there's an army of us, but that doesn't look like my army. Mm-hmm. And then it's because it's the Dupes.
And no one on the team can hear what he was saying.
Yeah. So
they're like, what? We heard something about Layla? And Pip is like, hey, I'm back. And also, this is everything that he said.
Yeah. And Monet almost runs him through, but Polaris does another force blast to hold her at bay. She's like, focus, kill the demons. So Monet's like, fine. Also, Asta has decided to join us.
Yes.
So we are trying to protect the computer cords.
Yes. That was also something that happened in the past week and a half, is that she chewed my laptop cord.
And shorted it
and
out.
And shorted out the entire computer.
And she was fine. You found her role flopped after she did her dirty work.
Yeah.
She's now eating hay, which is much better than a computer cord.
Yes. Back at the issue, we're almost done with this battle. So the Dupes go in against the demons, Monet lands, Polaris is doing stuff, Longshot, every member of the team is
pulling a panel.
Yeah. And it's real messy, green blood goo everywhere.
Does this count as ichor?
Yeah.
I feel like it should. And also poor Monet, she's just gonna be covered in ichor.
Yeah.
No one needs that. So eventually
all the demons,
including Vera,
get defeated. And Polaris, while she's battling, and she's like, did I hear this correctly? You got married? Well, in case we don't make it through, mazel tov.
Yes.
So
kill everyone.
The volcano explodes, but the shield is shielding everyone.
Yeah. So it's one big last burp of lava.
Yeah.
That comes out all over everyone. And as it's burping, they can see five or six figures being ejected out of hell.
Yes.
And they're like, well, I don't know who they are, but that can't be good.
And that's the end of that four issues. And we get the tease for X-Factor 250, which is the Hell on Earth War.
Yeah. So it went by very fast.
Yeah.
Especially when the last issue is just a battle.
Yes.
And
On the Defenders episodes, I've been making the joke, here's the battle of the issue.
Oh.
This entire issue is one big battle.
Yes.
With some team development and character development and some moving forward.
Yeah. We get some background on Pip. Monet is still done dirty.
She really is. I'm still so upset with poor Monet.
Yeah. Dear listener, if you hear some munching sounds in the background, Asta is working on some cardboard, because why wouldn't she while we're recording?
Right. She's just chewing the box that the new toilet came in.
Yes, there's a bathroom remodel underway.
Yes.
But better than the carpet she was eating before.
Yes, indeed. So let us know your thoughts. X-Factor is winding down.
And the artists seem to alternate between Kirk and Davidson.
Yeah.
And Kirk was more our style, mm-hmm. I feel.
Yeah, but like holding to the house style that was established at the beginning of the series.
Yeah, but I don't think anything sort of reaches the same level as that first art.
Mm-hmm.
That has been my favorite.
Yeah.
And like throughout all of this has been the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah. Do we have any other things to plug? The Uncanny Experience is coming up.
Yeah.
We have gorgeous weather right now.
Yes. The Uncanny Experience coming up in less than a month. And we still need to hope that your suit comes in and then I have to sew a cloak.
Oh, yeah. All the pieces are still downstairs.
Yeah, they are.
Are we working on that today? Probably not.
Probably not.
It happens.
It does.
As it just goes on making messes.
Yep.
So life is normal.
Yep. And we will catch you here next time. I think we have an issue in the can already for next episode. Next episode is probably a Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah.
The art.
Because now that I have a computer again, I can edit. So that's a thing.
Yeah. It'll be great.
Yes. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.
Be well.
Bye.